Okay, last Sunday we started getting into some storytelling about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. He is one of the better kings that we have in Judah. Stuck this over here in the corner. And we're going to talk some more about Hezekiah today. Do what?
What chapter are we on?
38. Chapter 38. And Hezekiah is right in the middle of Isaiah's ministry here. His kingdom is. We've been talking about basically Ahaz and Hezekiah the time that we've been in Isaiah so far. And we're continuing with King Hezekiah. Today he's got sick. Let's see what happens to him when he gets sick here. Chapter 38. In those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, and shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done all that is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and defend this city." Years God's given him extra. What do you think about that?
He may have given us 15 years that we don't even know about.
Possible. Possible. If God came to you and said, "Set your house in order, you're going to die soon," would we set our house in order, or would we beg for more time?
Beg for more time.
Probably like Hezekiah, maybe. But if God was ready to take us, and He's good enough to tell us that He is, I don't know.
Well, this is just like Claudette, in my opinion. She knows she's going, but she doesn't seem to be worried about it.
We shouldn't be worried if we're Christians.
A Christian should not worry about it.
No.
And she doesn't seem to dwell on the fact that she's leaving the children.
Mm-hmm.
She's just, that woman is at peace, I'm telling you.
But I think we should be putting our house in order now, not wait to be told.
Oh, yes. But no matter when we're going, our house is not necessarily in order, even if we try to keep it in order. Yes, I.
Some of the things that are happening in the world nowadays are very demoralizing, though.
I know it is. It's depressing, and especially when you got young kids coming up, you wonder what kind of world they're going to have to live in.
Would it be wrong to kind of bargain sometimes? Would that be considered, in my years in nursing, majority of the patients that I have come in contact with, they still kind of really praying for my years for healing.
Right.
Even though you think they're, at peace, but they're still, I guess it's because, some family or some other reasons or like that. So, but I don't really think that's,
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, what would we do?
Christ even said, "Not my will, but your will be done."
Yeah.
And he's being crucified. And then when you go to nursing homes, you see people in there that, completely out of it. Do they need 15 years longer?
I don't know. Some of them may. Some of them may not. I don't know.
I think we always pray God's help. But I hope we always remember to say, if it's your will.
But God is a gracious God, and I think oftentimes He will give us more time than, well, we don't deserve more time, but He'll give us more time than we expect, hoping we'll be developing a closer relationship with Him.
I had to give the 5 pounds to him, saying it on the wall. And I was looking to see if I had it in first because I had written it down. It says every day is a gift from God. You take it and you serve Him that day.
Yeah.
That was more or less what it said to do if you got that gift. And it is a gift.
King Hezekiah was considered a good king. But he had gotten sick, and we'll find out later he had boils and stuff like that, and some people think it was a plague or leprosy. And they some commentaries associate it with the disease that Job had that he is afflicted with. But let's see how Hezekiah handles this. Verse 7, this is a sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing that He has promised. Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial of Ahaz turn back 10 steps. So the sun turned back the dial, the 10 steps of which it had been declined. In other words, he had a sundial out there, a known sundial that King Ahaz had set up. And, you know, the sundial only goes one way. It never goes back the other way. But God says, I'll make it go back 10 steps or 10 degrees or whatever. I mean, there's different translations. But it goes back.
That was the day everybody got dizzy because they couldn't get the
equilibrium. Well, it not only did it happen where Hezekiah was, it happened the whole world. So that wasn't a local phenomenon. And we'll see that in a minute here. Well, let's go ahead and look at it now. 2 Kings 22:8. We've already covered this before. We can go back and look at it again. 2 Kings 22:8 talks about this same situation. 22:8, where am I at? I thought that said 22, 247. No, not 22:8. Nope. Must be 28. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 8, I guess. And going back up to about verse 3, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly, and before Isaiah had gone out the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, turn back and say to Hezekiah, the prince of my people, thus says the Lord God, your father, I have heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you on the third day. You shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to life. I will deliver you in this city out of the hand of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake and Isaiah, and bring a fig of cakes and let them take and lay it on the boil that he may recover. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign? And Lord, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this is a sign to you, Lord, the God will do the thing that he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or back 10 steps? And Hezekiah answered, it's an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Let the shadow go back 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps by which the sundial had declined on the dial of Ahaz. So basically the same thing. That is a little bit different in that give Hezekiah the option to decide which way it went. And he said, turn back. And another reference is 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And verse 31. Second Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31. Now this is talking about the same situation. Second Chronicles 32, 31. So in the matter of the envoys of the princes of Babylon. Now Babylon had sent envoys to Hezekiah, who had been sent to him to inquire about the sign that had been done in the land. God left him to himself in order to try him to know all that was in his heart. So, in Babylon, the sun had went back the 10 degrees or 10 steps or whatever. And Babylon had heard that King Hezekiah was sick and that this is a sign that God was going to perform for him. So Babylon sent envoys to Hezekiah to find out what is going on that the sun can go backwards. Just unheard of. And we'll see a little bit what Hezekiah did with these envoys. But first, in verse 9 of Isaiah 38, Hezekiah's response, a writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the noontide of my days, I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look upon man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night thou dost bring me to an end. I cry for help until morning. Like a lion he breaks all my bones. From day to night thou dost bring me to an end. Like a swallow or a crane I clamor, I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. To be thou my security. But what can I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. All my sleep has fled because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in these in the life of my spirit. O restore me to health and make me live. Lo, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but thou hast held back my life from the pit of destruction, for thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. For Sheol cannot thank thee, death cannot praise thee. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy faithfulness. The living, he thanks thee, as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children thy faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing to stringed instruments all the days of my life at the house of the Lord. So this was Isaiah's writing. He went from knowing he was a goner, pleading with God, saying, I can't worship you after I die, God. If I'm living, I can worship you. And if I'm living, I can teach my kids about you. But I can't do anything if I die and go to Sheol.
Did Hezekiah write that?
Yeah, that's Hezekiah's writing. So he wasn't taking God's pronouncement easily. He was begging with God to, and coming up with all kind of reasons why he should still live, that he could worship God alive. Also, why he had the boils and stuff, he was ceremonially unclean and he could not go in the temple and worship. Anytime you had an open sore on your body, he wasn't allowed to go in the temple to worship. So he was wanting to go back into the temple to sacrifice and worship God, and he couldn't as long as he had those open sores on his body. But he says that he can you can teach your children, if you're alive, about God. The Father makes known to the children thy faithfulness. Okay? Hezekiah asked for 50, oh, he was given 50 more years. What happened in those 15 years? Have you been studying?
I don't know. His son was 12 years old.
Yeah. Look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Same place we was a while ago. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Now, I don't give her the answers before class. She's doing this on her own. the end of chapter 31, the last sentence in chapter 32, last sentence in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles. And Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. That's after Hezekiah died.
How do you find this?
Sometimes I have to look in the table of contents in the front because I get confused where the chapters are. And anybody tell them the page number? It's different from mine.
749.
If I had the same book, I would have told you page number, but I don't have the same book. 400?
Yeah.
400? Okay, 400. Where are you at, Troy?
I'm in King James.
Oh. You're just messing everybody up. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't thinking. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, last sentence. And Manasseh, his son, reigned his stead. And then the first verse of 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. So, if Hezekiah died after 15 years, Manasseh was only 12 years old when he took over from his father. That means he was born, conceived maybe 2 years after Hezekiah was given his extension. So, Manasseh, one of the worst kings, and he had 55 years of reign. Now, what did Hezekiah do in those years? Now, 12 years, you can teach a kid something in 12 years.
Not much.
Kids can be smarter than you expect, though, in 12 years. You can lay a foundation. But whatever Hezekiah did with Manasseh, apparently it didn't stick, if he did anything.
It used to be that the Catholic said if you give a child to the Catholic Church the first 12 years or so, that they have a right to train them. But he was in his own writing system, he teaches his church.
He wasn't Catholic.
They came later.
So, was it good that Hezekiah had his 15 years extension or not?
No.
I don't know. We don't know what would have happened if Manasseh hadn't come along.
Good.
Don't know.
God's will.
In that time frame, there were no prophets.
He sure didn't teach that child.
Tradition says it was Manasseh that sawed Isaiah in half. You can see Isaiah's ministry ended about the middle there. And that's what tradition says. It was King Manasseh that had Isaiah sawed in half.
But one thing about children, you can be strict and you can teach them at home, but when they get out on their own,
they forget everything.
You don't look like
they're peer pressure.
No, it's up to them.
Adults, they have to answer for themselves.
The Bible tells us each one of us is responsible for working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, continue verse 21. Now Isaiah had said, "Let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil that he may recover." Hezekiah also had said, "What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?" And it doesn't answer it that, but we see the answer when we looked back over in 2 Kings. In 3 days, he could go up to the house of the Lord. Okay, any questions on 38 before we get into 39 here? Let's see what else Hezekiah did with the time he had. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard he had been sick and had recovered. Not only had he heard he'd been sick and recovered, but the reason he heard he had been sick and recovered is because the son had moved back. We see that back in Chronicles. And Hezekiah welcomed them and showed them his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his whole armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and whence did they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is my house. There is nothing in my storehouses I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house, that which your fathers have stored up till this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who are born to you shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good," for he thought, "There will be peace and security in my days." Now, what kind of attitude is that? I'm okay. I've been extended 15 years. God's protecting me. I don't care about my grandkids. What kind of attitude is that? Also, he had an attitude of pride when these envoys came to see him. It doesn't say directly here, but in I don't know if it's Chronicles or Kings, 2 Kings. It says that he was prideful. He's a proud man. He wanted to show all that God had given him. And he showed them everything. And don't you know, they went back home and said, "Hey, king of Babylon, this guy's rich. He's got all kind of good stuff we might like to have." This happened about this time here. And see, it's about, maybe 690. And 590, 100 years later, they're carried off into Babylon. Don't you know they went back and told all these stories? Babylon was a weak country then. They were more or less a vassal of Assyria. But over time, Babylon grew in strength. They conquered Assyria and went on to take Israel, Judah, and carry them off into bondage. They still knew the stories that were told by these envoys of all the treasures that were in Judah. Isaiah prophesied what was going to happen. And probably what Hezekiah did during that time to show off, show his pride, made it worse for Judah in later years.
Well, that was really sad. You know, it seems like he was doing very, very well until he had an additional 15 years. Then he started doing all this. So, what would that, you know, just all the other good things that he had done in the past. Okay?
Yeah, he was considered a good king. Mm-hmm. I remember when Sennacherib threatened him. He took Sennacherib's letter into the temple and laid it before God. But there's still some scholars that think that Hezekiah may have been in the process of being punished because of the leprosy or the boils or the plague or whatever he had. Or maybe he's just being tested, like Job had been tested.
He gave him signs that he'd have 15 years and also that he would go to the house of the Lord, right? Uh-huh. That might make you weak. if you're already told, you've got me.
When you're 15 years up, what you going to do? You ask for 15 more?
Yeah. Well, you can worry about that for the
14th year. Huh? I don't know. Would you ask for 15 more after that 15 was up? Yeah. Or would you be ready then?
Yeah, my son's 12. He was not ready for this job. Let me see. Don't give it to a teenager.
Don't know. But as Christians, I think we should be of the attitude that when the Lord is ready for us, we should be ready. Okay, we're getting at a unique place, I guess you'd say, in Isaiah in chapter 40. We're not going to go into chapter 40, but we're going to talk about this place in the Bible. There is a theory about Isaiah, It's called the Deutero-Isaiah theory. The Deutero-Isaiah theory is a fairly recent one where they think that there's more than one Isaiah that wrote Isaiah. There's even a theory thinking there's three Isaiahs that wrote Isaiah. But the most popular and most prevalent theory is a Deutero-Isaiah theory. That chapters 1 through 39 was written by one Isaiah, and chapter 40 through 66 was written by another Isaiah. If you do much reading and commentaries or anything like that, you're going to run across that. And just my opinion, I don't think it's worth wasting your time on. But we're going to hear it if we do any kind of studying. There are going to be people that say, so-and-so didn't write so-and-so book. You know, that's traditionally, we've said he wrote that book. Or that he got his sources from other people and he didn't write the whole thing. And all kind of things like that. I think trying to go down those paths is just a waste of time in Bible study. And in this Deutero-Isaiah theory, there is a place in John chapter 12, verses 37 through 41. Let's look over in John chapter 12, 37 to 41. John chapter 12, 37 to 41. John chapter 12, 37 to 41. And this is some quotes by John referencing Isaiah. Verse 37 of chapter 12. Though he had done many signs before them, yet they did not believe him. It was that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The Lord who has believed our report, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their hearts and be turned and turn from me to heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw this glory and spoke of him. Two quotes from Isaiah. Now, most of your Bibles should have footnotes. So if you look down in the footnotes, let's see. Verse 38. Let's see, 12:38. Says, mine says it's from Isaiah 53:1. And then verse 40, it says it's from Isaiah 6:10. Right? You're going to say the same thing? Okay. First one says, Isaiah said this. And then verse 39, for Isaiah said again. So it appears as if it's the same Isaiah saying both passages. One passage is in the area that we call Isaiah 1, and the other passage is in Isaiah 2. But this text in John 12, it appears as if the same guy said both things. So there's one indication that there's only one Isaiah. Also, passages in Isaiah and the New Testament are quoted at least 85 times. Isaiah's name is mentioned 21 times in 6 books in the New Testament. There's 10 quotes from chapter 1 through 39 of Isaiah, and there are 11 quotes, chapter 40 through 66 of Isaiah. None of the times in the New Testament has anybody said anything about two Isaiahs. Nowhere. Yet we have scholars, modern scholars, that wasn't around when Isaiah wrote this, that says there's two different guys that wrote this. And they're sure.
gets older, his opinions and everything else changes. His experience changes, his thoughts even. So he may not write the same way he did when he was younger.
That's right. And look how long Isaiah's prophecy was. Just think of your journey as a Christian. I'm just thinking of the time I've been at St. Matthew's. Classes I taught 20 years ago, I'm still embarrassed to think about what I said back then, you know. And the things I did back then. Not that I was trying to do anything wrong, it's just I didn't know. I've changed. I know I've changed. I'm pretty sure Isaiah has changed. If God's talking to you for quite a few years, I think your spiritual life will develop quite a bit. And if God's talking to you using spiritual words, your writing might change too. So all this Isaiah stuff about them being more than one Isaiah, don't hold any water with me. But you will hear that. I think a lot of that is academia. They got to write papers people haven't wrote anything on before and try to prove things are not provable and stuff.
Yeah. You can't prove them wrong.
But that's where we're going to stop right there. And there is a change in writing in the book of Isaiah from the previous 39 chapters and from here to the end. And that is the way some commentaries explain that. I've got one commentary I never look at anymore. It was one of the first commentaries I bought when I started studying the Bible. And it talks about three Isaiahs. So that's how messed up that commentary is. I hadn't opened it in years. And I started reading it and I got so confused and aggravated. And then,
so what is the main difference from the first 40 to now 40?
Style, the way it's written, it appears that if it's written by two different people, maybe. Well, we're looking at translation, though. We're looking at a translation. So in the original text, I don't know. You know, I'm just telling you what commentaries say. I don't know myself. I can't tell the difference. But that's what the commentaries say, that there's a different style of writing in the latter chapters versus the first chapters. And like I said, some tries to divide it up in three parts. But we're going to stop right now. I need to spend some little time to get ready to be later here this morning, so we'll cut it a little bit short today. We'll pick up at chapter 40 next Sunday. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll continue to unfold your word before us. Draw us deeper into a spiritual relationship with you, Lord. Be with us now. Pour out your blessings upon us. As we go into your sanctuary, we pray all our words and deeds will be the glorification of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.